gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry? Then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
Merry Christmas, dude. How are you, man?
Much better now looking at you with your cheetah Santa hat. You look like Santa's hot side piece, dude.
It's sexy Santa. It's like Mean Girls all up in this place over here, man.
Yeah, you got me all flustered.
It happens. I've been known to fluster a person or two from time to time. It has happened. What's up, man? I like you, little Santa's workshop behind you there. I mean, that's cool, man. I like it.
You got to give the elves the due, dude. They do all the work. Santa is just a glorified freaking mail runner, man. At the end of the day, the hard work, the small business is the elf's workshop.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I agree 110%. Let's pay some bills real quick. We have an illustrious guest that's coming on the show. I got to love a guy that's punctual. He's already sitting in the lobby. He's ready. He's waiting. He's ready to rock and roll. But before we get into that, this show is brought to you, like all of our shows prior to this, by Stay Classy Meats. Go to Stay Classy Meats. Use promo code FIST. Save 10% on your entire order. The best meat on the planet Earth delivered straight to your doorstep using promo code FIST. Go to StayClassyMeats.com. Dude, check out my sexy duds I got.
I was gonna say, you know what that looks like? That looks like another business outside of the North Pole, the elves.
Yeah.
It looks like Allegiance Clothing, the hardest working people in the garment industry. If you guys want to look as good as Dale or prepare yourself for 2021, go to allegianceclothing.com, type in the code PUNCH. You're going to get 15% off site-wide.
Yeah, for sure. The only person that works harder in the garment industry is those kids in other foreign countries that sew shoes together for Nike and every once in a while sew their hands together. But outside of that, nobody works harder in the garment industry than Allegiance Clothing. And last but not least, you know, the ad read is part of the lead in for the guest. So it's all the same. Everything that we do, all the odds that we get, they come from Bet Online, guys. We got bowl season that's coming up right now. NFL playoffs are right around the corner. We've got a 4-week lull before the next fight, the next main event, Calvin Kattar versus Max Holloway. Something tells me we're going to be talking about Calvin Kattar later on this evening. But all the odds that we get, all the odds that we use on the show, they come from Bet Online. Use promo code ARMCHAIR. You can take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. It's just, man, it's a seamless process. The payout process is seamless. The betting process is seamless. The teasers, the parlays, it's sick, man. I love it. All that to say this. Our guest tonight, the head odds maker for Bet Online, my man Dave Mason. Get him in here.
How you guys doing? Can you hear me?
Dave, I can hear you. How are you, man?
Absolutely.
Well, that's quite a lead-in, man. That's a lot of pressures on me. Jesus.
Well, I was going to say something like super genius or
It sounds set me up for failure. Been getting set up for failure all my life here, man. You know, dumb me down a little bit, please. Decorations, by the way.
Thank you. Tis the season.
Sure is. We're out of season now. We just finished our UFC card. We've got 4 weeks, as Dale said, into what's going to be the next card. This is where preparation meets opportunity. So it's like, if you're listening to this podcast right now, we've got Dave Mason. It's game on. Let's go.
Yeah, for sure. You want to just start with the heavy hitters right off the bat, or you want to lead in slowly? How do you like the dance? I don't know. I mean, we kind of go one way or the other here. It just depends on you.
Whatever, man. You know, you guys are talking UFC, and that's I love UFC, MMA. So let's get it going. Whatever you guys want to know. I mean, there's a few weeks off here, but we put up some new odds today. We put up some of the MMA awards. They're coming up in this whole time, so we put some odds up there. We just Michael Chandler, Dan Hooker just got announced, so we put up odds there. So there's always something to bet on.
That's exactly what I was going to lead into. I wanted to ask you. I didn't look and get on the website and see that the Hooker and Chandler odds were up there. So let's just talk about this. When a fight like that gets announced, what's the process where you look at it and then determine what the odds are going to be and where the lines start? How does that whole thing sort of what's the genesis of how that works from the time you hear it till we see it and get the bet on it?
Yeah, there's a few of us here. You know, our head odds guy. Then we have a head MMA guy who's really good, man. He's actually just came on the team about two to three months ago, and he's awesome opinion. You know, we really been up in our game with our MMA props. One of our competitors kind of ditched the U.S. market, and they always had awesome UFC props, credit to them, but they kind of ditched the UFC market. So when that happened, it's like, you know what, here's an opportunity. So we brought another guy in who's really good at props. And so, you know, the three of us, you know, we kind of, we're two of us sometimes, you know, sometimes one of us is not online or whatever, but we figure it out, put a number up, and let the bettors bet it. And, you know, sometimes we're off, sometimes we're on, whatever. Just let the money and the action come in and shape the odds. So we have that one at Pick'em right now, -110 each side. So we're looking forward to that. You know, that's going to be on the Conor McGregor card, which is great. So it's, you know, those Conor McGregor cards, just they get bet like nothing else. So right. any other good fight, you know, Michael Chandler's UFC debut. So anything else getting added to that card, it's going to be awesome.
When you have someone as flamboyant as Conor McGregor for UFC 257, do you guys get extremely creative with your props, or is it just very like cut and dry? Like you say, you get dive into the prop bets, but with someone as flamboyant as Conor McGregor, I imagine it's just exuberant the amount of things you can do.
No, absolutely. You know, it's no different than a boxing match. You know, when Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao, those really big time needle movers, right? And you know, and a guy like Jorge Masvidal now and Nate Diaz, those guys are those big time needle movers as well. So you're going to do special stuff. You know, you have, you know, method of victory and round betting, and will the fight go the distance, et cetera, et cetera. But then you get creative, you know, stuff like I've done before, Bruce Buffer's introduction, over under on the time, the introduces the main event, who bleeds first, you know, will the fighters touch gloves? How many F-bombs will Conor McGregor drop in his post-fight octagon interview, you know, stuff like that. So you just get creative, and you know, well, how many times will he mention his whiskey at the post-fight press conference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you have fun with it. The bettors love it. You know, you know, you're not taking big limits on stuff like that. It's more kind of just for fun, and put the limits a little lower, because, you know, we're not, you know, we don't have any algorithms or anything on how many times Connor's going
right.
to drop an F-bomb. But, you know, you watch some YouTube videos real quick and throw a number up there and take some action, have some fun.
I'll tell you where we've had some success. We sort of did some in-house action on Laura Sanko's outfit color for Contender Series. So she usually runs between about four or five different colors, green, red, yellow, black and white, or pattern. So we'll put polls up and take action on that, just a little in-house action. And we've seen great turnout with those.
Right.
So, and then we've got the inside track on something, on a prop play you might be interested in. We had Calvin Cater on a couple weeks ago, and the question was posed as to who would attempt a leg kick first, him or Max Holloway, since both of them are notorious non-leg kickers.
Right.
And Cater was all about that leg kick action if he could find a good number on it. So, you know, it might we'll be a little compromise.
We'll put it up. Hell with it, man. I like it. Screw it. We'll put it up. We love trying stuff like that. And, you know, that's kind of you know, our guys in the, you know, when I started with Bet Online like 10 years ago, it was like, you know, we were a smaller book and kind of conservative, and they kind of had a management, you know, new management come in, and a few of us came in and were like, you know, we have to make a name for ourselves. We're small, you know, but, you know, okay, this is good. We're making some money, but if you really want to compete with the big boys, you really got to put your name out there. And I come from a PR background, you know, I work more in the marketing side of things with PR. So it's all about, you know, I mean, who's going to promote, you know, the odds on the Conor McGregor fight? Every damn book on planet Earth has them. But if you start getting creative and stuff, and that's when people start taking notice. And that's, you know, the Super Bowl, right? It's all about those prop bets and the crazy prop bets. Everybody has, what will the first score be, and this, that, and the other thing. Right. But if you get creative, that's what gets on the big sites, and that's what people want to talk about. So, you know, our owners just said, you know, run with it. Just do whatever you got to do. So, you know, okay, for first, you know, I could put up odds. how many times I'm going to scratch my nose tomorrow. And the owner will be like, yeah, screw it. Put it up there and see what happens. So, you know, we love getting creative. And, you know, other books are kind of – and that's fine. The other books have different philosophies, and they're more old school and, you know, standard. And that's cool. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But we're a little more cutting edge and love to get wacky. Right.
So if you were to, like, do a pie chart – like, where would you say of like your revenues broken up? Like, are people going heavy money line, or are parlays a thing, or props? Like, paint me a picture here.
For MMA?
Yeah.
Yeah, straight bets. I mean, money line, straight bets. That's the bread and butter. But you know, then after that, it's, you know, what, like I said, our props have been just exploded the last few months. And again, that's because we brought that new guy on board, and he's just killing it over there.
Right.
And we've probably tripled or quadrupled our props action the last few months. But again, the money line bets and parlays are probably next. You know, people love especially the money line all chalk parlays. You know, you just everybody's parlaying the favorites to get down to these three guys win and it's +110 or something like that. You know what sure. I mean? So that's probably next props. I mean, we do a lot of live action too, man. We have live odds up for all the fights and, you know, a lot of books just have their quote unquote live odds open in between rounds, but we actually keep them up during the rounds. Now, if things are getting hairy, you know, one guy's beating the hell out of the other guy, we'll freeze the odds or whatever. Often when it goes to the mat, the odds will freeze. You know, it's no different than in football when a team's on the goal line, the odds are going to freeze. But no, you know, the live odds are great and that's taking a lot of action. But end of the day, the bread and butter's the odds to win money line.
I'll tell you what I see that I see on BetOnline, and I've played on a lot of different books, and one that I see on BetOnline that I haven't pulled the trigger on it yet because I'm still I think fighting is so there's so many variables involved in it, but there's like point spreads for a lot of these fights, like whether or not if it goes the decision, then how many points somebody will win by, which is crazy on the card. So how do you and I don't know if it's the new guy that does that or what, but how is that, like, how do you formulate that idea? Like the idea of a point spread on a fight. And then if the fight ends by finish, is there no action on it? It's a loss. I mean, I don't know. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that's such a, unique opportunity.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, we did it sometimes in the past, but mm-hmm. this new guy takes care of that. Again, he's like a props wizard.
Right.
So yeah, you know, you there's a spread. You know, it's you know, say it's one fighter's mind. We don't have anything up right now. Those will come up later, close to the fights. And of course, there's no fights this weekend, so right. I don't really have anything to give an example of.
Right.
But let's say that. Let's just I'm gonna again pulling odds out my you know what. Sure. Let's say for the Conor McGregor. Poirier fight, let's say McGregor's -2 or whatever, 2.5. And, you know, then you just add up the points at the end for the decision. And, you know, 30, right. Whatever he is, he wins whatever 49-48 or something. And Poirier covers that, you know what I mean? Yeah. But if the fight ends early, then the guy who, wins, right?
Right, gotcha. I've never seen it anywhere else, and I've looked at it, and I'm like, man, that's so enticing. It almost looks like it calls to me the way like an NFL parlay or I'm sorry, a prop bet does when it's like, will any team score 3 times unanswered?
Right.
I look at those bets, and I'm like, man, I could pay my house off with this. Do I really think? That Seattle or anybody's going to go 3 times, you know, score. I mean, it's amazing how often that happens. I can't tell you how many times I've had that feeling, and then I've lost my ass on it too. Yeah. So there is that.
Yeah, I know, man. You know, that prop bet, man, it scrambles my mind. I think my mind's just too damn slow for it now. Maybe 20 years ago, 10 years ago, to have been, but I just try. It's a tough one for me, man. It's like I try to keep it simple with my betting, you know. But no, it's cool. I know bettors love it. They really love it. And, you know, those guys who dig into stats, and numbers really love something like that. And again, you know, I'm a much more simple better these days, you know, back in the day when I would have to get my pen and paper out and digging into this, thinking that I'm sure I would have loved it. But these days it just kind of gives me a headache. I'm like, oh my God, it's trying to figure it out. It's tough for me.
For sure. So with this, I mean, obviously, so head odds maker at Bet Online, you said there's a team of you guys. I imagine that the job market for a position like that, there's so many people out there, myself included, that would, you know, literally we're talking about, I'd give away a piece of my kidney or something like that for an opportunity like that. Did you stumble into this? Did you know a guy? Did you know a guy who knew a guy? Did you just beat the brakes off the books and they were like, we got to get you out of here? How did that happen?
I just networked, man. It was the industry I wanted to break into, and we're talking almost two decades now ago. And, you know, I had another job back then, and it was like kind of, you know, I called it a pre-midlife crisis. I wasn't at midlife yet, but it was like I already had one career, and I got out, and I was like, what the hell do I want to do with my life? I was like, I just don't want to work. I want a job. I can't do the 9-to-5. I can't do, you know, I can't have a job where I just am not interested.
Sure.
I got to love what I do. And, you know, I love sports. Gambling. I wasn't always a huge gambler, but I was always intrigued with odds and numbers. You know what I mean? I wasn't just an action junkie. Like, and still to this day, I'm not just a huge bettor. I still, you know, when I bet, I'm, you know, I think I have an edge. You know, I won't just bet to watch a game tonight. Like a lot of people. So, you know, if somebody told me you can never place a bet in the rest of your life, I'd be fine with that. But I've always loved it. I always like going in the casino and figuring stuff out, and you know what I mean? And trying black, you know, I tried card counting at a point, you know, all that. I always wanted the math and everything. I never really got good at it, but I always was intrigued by it. I always loved it. You know what I mean? So I was like, you know, I got to do something sports related. And that's the only thing that's going to keep me interested for the next 30 years is if I get involved in sports, because all this other stuff I don't give a hell about. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's got to be sports. That's the only, you know, I have kind of a short attention span and whatnot. So it's like if I'm going to make a living and make any kind of money, it's got to be something I'm love and passionate about. Because if it's not, if they're like, hey, go sell the cell phone or something, it's not going to work out well or whatever. So I did research, and, you know, I found out a lot of the offshore books were down in Central America. I actually knew a guy down there from who's like the boss of my old roommate or something. And he wasn't even in the industry, but I just hit him up. It's like, dude, I'm coming down looking for a job. went down to Costa Rica and took a Spanish course just to tell my parents I was going to do something productive down there. Partied my ass off. And when, you know, I found where one of the main books was, it was like in this mall in San Jose, Costa Rica. And it was like,
what?
Finding this office was, you know, I was going through this labyrinth and everything. I finally found it, and I knocked on the door. I'm like, who are you? I was like, hey, I'm visiting from the States. You guys hiring? It was like March. They're like, no, we're not. I was like, listen, you know, can I just speak to someone? This is like the secretaries. And they're like, so some gringo comes out. I think he's like from South Dakota or something. Some big dude. He's like, hey, what's up? I was like, hey, man, I'm just in Costa Rica taking a Spanish course. And, I like sports. I know about gambling. I'm good with numbers.
Right.
Can you give me a shot? And he's like, well, come back during football season. And we'll put you to work. And we kept in touch, and that job didn't work out, but I made other contacts when I was there, and I started there, one of those jobs, and the rest is history.
Dave, that is you just described the movie Runner Runner with Ben Affleck, dude. You were in that movie. That was the same thing,
man. I mean, everybody has a story down here, but, you know, it was just, you know, persistence and just, you know, I mean, the first job they offered me, it was like the pay was embarrassingly bad, but it's like I didn't care, you know what I mean? I just wanted an opportunity. It's like $1,000 a month or something, and they're gonna pay for my rent or some BS like that. But I was like, you know what, screw it. I got a little saving saved up. I'll, you know, just give me a shot and I'll prove myself. And I don't know. I think I've done that a little bit.
I think it's worked out for you. I think you've done all right. So that's wild. That's a great story. So on let's say we get a big fight night coming up. Obviously, Conor McGregor is a big needle mover. I imagine guys like Tony Ferguson, Dustin Poirier, those guys are big action. Anybody off the beaten path that, you know, maybe you wouldn't expect, you know, man or woman, that seems to get a lot of action every time they fight? Anybody?
You know, well, Conor's without a doubt the king. Right. I mean, you know, Khabib, he's big now. Jorge Masvidal's big. That Masvidal Usman card months back, that was the biggest bet card we've ever done. Now there's an asterisk there because there's no other sports going on. So, but that was the biggest bet card. I mean, if Masvidal fights Conor somehow, that will just absolutely shatter all betting records. That will shatter all pay-per-view records, etc. I really want to see that happen just from a hype standpoint and how much dang action we'll get coming in.
Right.
So Masvidal's there, Khabib, Nate Diaz, of course. He turned into a big needle mover. You know, those are the biggest right now. And then after that, you know, you would think John Jones is, but, you know, he's kind of second or third tier. I mean, he gets good action, but it's not like – it's nowhere near the Conor action. You know, same with DC and stuff like – you can often like kind of align it with the pay-per-view buys, right? There's definitely a correlation there. So, you know, when you look at those pay-per-view records and it's all Conor McGregor, it has a has a monopoly on him, right? So, but you know, Masvidal's getting there too. Who else? I mean, this Khamzat, he's going to be there too soon. You know, I can't wait for his next fight against Leon Edwards. Right. That's gonna get a ton of action because he's getting a ton of love, man. Those are the biggest. You know, back in the day, Ronda Rousey was massive. I mean, the action we used to do in Ronda Rousey,
biggest payday of my life was Ronda Rousey getting head kicked to sleep by freaking
That was our biggest loss of all time for a fight. And we got absolutely murdered on that fight. But whatever, man. You know,
I'm just saying that was
Tommy Lutzum.
Right. I had Holly Holm straight up, and then I had her at the tail end of like a 7-fight parlay too. So I was it was one of those things where I had, you know, there's a couple fighters that I've been riding with since they first, you know, showed up on the scene. And when Holly first showed up, I was like, she's going to give Ronda fits. If they ever fight, she's going to give Ronda fits. She's tailor-made to beat Ronda.
Right.
If we can just get to that point. And the moment they booked that fight, I was like, oh my gosh. I was just like watching the lines every day. I'm like, I got to make – okay, let me see. How good is this going to get? Is it going to get bigger? Is it going to – you know, and then I hammered it once I was comfortable with it. So, yeah.
That was good for you. Good
I know your book definitely took a hit for that, but – like for our listeners, what's like a heroic story? Like, you know, in 2019, there was that guy that had the 89-cent 20 team parlay that almost got, you know, $500,000. What's a heroic story for a bettor out there that you've seen as of recently?
MMA wise, man, you know, shoot. I mean, we always had those big parlays. I can't think of one right off the top of my head. I mean, there was a card. When was that? I'm thinking 5 years ago. I think when like every dog hit.
Yep, it was a UFC Brazil. I think it was like
you remember that?
Yep, yeah. Sao Paulo or something.
We had a bunch of lottery ticket. I call them lottery tickets where people bet just a few dollars on these, you know, and they put all these dogs in there. And if we had a bunch of those hit, man, and That was a disaster, man. That was an absolute disaster. So we had this, and that's the thing. It's kind of contradicts the normal parlay because, like I said earlier, the normal MMA parlay is all chalk, right? You know, everybody -400, -300, -260, voila, who pays +110 or whatever the hell would pay. But that card, it was just, you know, all those little lottery tickets, those $5, $10 bets that were paying out four figures.
Yep.
and some five figures. It's like, what the hell happened last night, man? Yeah. That really, I think every dog but one hit. I can't remember who's on. I remember Frank Mir was on that car. I remember the bar I was watching it at. But every dog hit except one. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think I saw a ticket like when that first. I mean, that was like in the infant stages, even of social media. And I think a guy had was like a $5 ticket for like $28,000 or something like that. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Yep. Every dog was winning, and it was just wild. So, I know you can only tell us so much about the process and the way things work and all that kind of stuff. Obviously there's a right way to bet. There's a wrong way to bet. And as far as combat sports is concerned, I guess what I'm going to try to get at here is like with football, you always want to try to tease through the 7 and the 3, right? There's these little tips and tricks that people try to use.
Right.
As far as combat sports go, is there anything that you see or care to share about that can help or something that you see that hurts people when they're trying to bet so effectively?
Right. Yeah, no, it's a good question. This answer is going to be standard no matter sure. You're betting fights, football, tiddlywinks, politics. It doesn't matter. Don't bet late. You know, the latest odds are going to be the sharpest odds. Yet, Sunday morning when I'm looking at NFL this weekend, there's going to be a wave of action coming in. When these people could have watched these odds all week, it got an extra half a point or an extra point or even more sometimes. But they just log on, make their bets with 2 hours left in the game. Those are the hardest odds to beat, are the closing odds. Those are the sharpest. You're not going to beat those odds long term. But you can beat, the Thursday, the Wednesday, the Tuesday odds more because they're the softest. Those odds have not been shaped yet. And the same thing applies for MMA, UFC, boxing, whatever. We open our odds before any other fight. Like I said, that Dan Hooker fight, we just, one of our guys hit it up. Hey, it's announced. We're not waiting for the industry to open it up and see where they open. Now we got our balls out and open the damn thing up. and that's like every sport, you got it. If you go to a book, whether it's us or someone else, who opens those odds early and pay attention to them early, pay attention to the market, see where it's going. Because you betting a favorite at -260 when it closes -300 is a mathematical advantage.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're going to win.
Sure.
But long term, that's the key. Long term, those mathematical edges will turn you into a winning better. Same with dogs. You're betting at +130 when it closes +110. Right. Again, doesn't mean you're going to win, but long term, you're going to have a mathematical advantage. So, that's the biggest thing. Is just paying attention to those early odds. Do not ignore them. But 80% of the people do. It's amazing. You gotta pay attention to that market, see where those odds are moving. Another thing, and I know sharp guys that do this, especially with fights. And I've had debates about this. The weigh-ins. I know guys who are pretty darn sharp. Right. And I don't agree with it, but they will not place a bet until after the weigh-in.
That's going to be my next question.
Right. Yeah. I these guys go, I'm going to see the weigh-ins. I want to see how my fighter looks.
Yep.
And then I'm going to bet it.
Yep.
And you're losing, like I said, that's so you're going to bet these odds at the sharpest odds. I've been watching this sport since UFC 1. I'm going to show my age here, but I was in college, UFC 1.
Sure.
And me and my buddies put money in, $5 in a pot, and we got this dang UFC 1 and watched all these knuckleheads out there minus Royce Gracie.
Right.
And I've been watching this stuff. And over the long term, I have no stats to back me up on it, but every time, he looked horrible at the weigh-in. And he goes out and waxes the other dude. You know what I mean? Right. It happens just as much. And plus, over the long term, again, that's my favorite word in the betting industry is long term. Maybe sure. It's two words or one word with a hyphen in between. I don't know what it is. Anyways, that's my favorite word because that's what you got to think is long term. And right. Over the long term, you're going to – if you bet early, let's say you bet a fighter at +150 on Tuesday, the weigh-ins are Saturday, and your fighter looks bad, and now all of a sudden these, or your fighter looks good, and all of a sudden he's plus 120 because everybody overreacts, or the vice versa. You know, you're going to miss out on the extra, you know, 30 cents. He goes from plus 150. It works both ways. That's what I'm saying. Over the long term, it's going to work both ways, whereas your fighter might look good at weigh-ins or he might look bad at weigh-ins. But all I know is if you're going to give up extra value, if you're betting him at plus 150 and he closes at plus 120, or you passed up plus 150 because you're waiting plus 120 because the other fighter looked bad and you just lost value. I don't – you know, that stuff works its way out over the long term, how they look at the weigh-ins. You know, the other guy might look bad. Then all of a sudden the odds drop and you missed out on 30 cents to the dollar earlier on because you're waiting around for the weigh-ins. You know, all that stuff evens out long term. Don't overthink it. And like I said, if I had a dollar for every time, oh, he looks horrible. He looks gaunt and he goes out and actually destroys the other dude. And it's like, oh, well, you missed out on an extra 30 cents to the dollar.
Dale only watches the weigh-ins to make sure that the fighter hasn't actually had a haircut. That's his biggest superstition. If someone has a haircut right before their fight, all bets are off.
I don't like new haircuts and I don't like new tattoos. I don't like it. I'm telling you, every time I see. So Renato Moicano got that neck tattoo.
Yeah,
hasn't won a fight since.
Really? I had a guy when I was in Panama. I was in Panama for 3 years, and there was a guy in the gym, and you know, he was really into MMA, and you know, he knew what I did for a living, and I was in it, and he had his own. He's like, I watched the way he always watched the way, and he's a pretty sharp guy. He knew his stuff. He trained.
Yeah.
And I always watched the weigh-ins, and I told him my feeling about weigh-ins, and he's like, but I wait to see if they smile. The guy that if they smile and he spit out some stats, like, are you kidding me? Yeah. They smile. So whatever, man. But that's what makes all us betters nuts, right? We're all crazy.
Well, there's a bunch of stuff like that. There's stuff about like fist bump and Bruce Buffer. There's a lot of people. There's one that if you use Eminem for a walkout song, I think I saw something one time that was like Eminem for a walkout song has like a 78% loss rate or something like that. So you just can't use Eminem for a walkout song. So,
we're all insane. All us betters. We're all insane.
That's right. We all got our own little thing. So, but Dave, you've been super generous with your time, man. I appreciate you coming on. We got something bigger coming up with Bet Online here, probably in January that we'll be rolling out. I don't know if they talked to you about that or not. So I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I'm not supposed to say. Cool. So we'll probably have you back on sometime at the end of January.
Can't wait.
And we'll talk, and things will be a lot more sharp as far as the conversation goes at that time. But
all good.
Appreciate you hopping on, man. Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Be safe. And thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot. Yep. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Lot, man. Gonna go heavy on prop parlays, brah.
Do we need to start recording the show earlier?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, should we record on Sunday nights?
Well, I got to wait till weigh-ins, though, man.
So you want to wait till weigh-ins then?
Yeah, man. That's a big takeaway for me. Right. It's just like going to the horse races, man.
Yeah.
You think the name's all cool. You've read their stats, but then you see them walk out and you're like, oh, shit, that's a gray horse. I'm going to bet the freaking farm on that thing.
Real quick, I want to address a question in the chat. Kyle, the Browns are absolutely going to win the AFC North, 100%.
Wow.
Put it down. Steelers are losing out, man. It's a wrap. Browns. Brownies all day. Let's go. Dude, all right.
Pour one out for the Browns.
Bro, I'm my brown bottle's empty, man.
I know. I was expecting a guess in the first 5 seconds. So this
is okay. That's all right. So and then I brought it back up. So I got myself a little JMO. Bang bang. All right. End of year award program. It's been a fun year betting wise. We have made some money. We lost a little bit along the way. We had a rough patch in what was that? June, July.
Couldn't pick a booger, I think was your infamous quote.
Yes, couldn't pick a booger in June. Mm-hmm. And then we righted the ship. And we finished the year strong, finished it just shy of our goal of 67%. So round of applause to you, good sir. You did well all year long. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of us. Let's get some takeaways. Let's give some stuff away. Let's do some awards. Let's just, you know, have at it. So your opinion. Let's get the voter's choice for these people, like the awards. And then I want your opinion as to whether or not, one, they got it right or wrong, or two, if it was somebody that wasn't even in the running for it. Okay.
Really?
Okay. So what was our first category?
Well, I feel like we should preface this before we get into it. I am extremely disappointed as to the voting, not the amount of votes. I mean, the amount of votes were great. A lot of people participated. We have a lot of social engagement on our Instagram, Punchless MMA. But I will say there's a division here between those that listen to the show and those that follow us on Instagram. And that's a huge issue because we know those that listen to us on this podcast, we know how they would vote. We know what they believe in. We know what type of bettors they are. The people on Instagram, very different. The people that voted on Instagram, I'm going to call them casuals, dude. Mm. Every single one of these categories, they voted like a casual.
Some of them did. So we do know for a fact that there is a great contingency of our show that does follow us on Instagram. However, that being said, there are more people that engage in our Instagram polls and questions and things of that nature that we believe may or may not actually listen to the show. Mm. There were a large contingency of people that voted in accordance to how we think that the fan base would vote, but there was some disparity in the voting that we think may have been caused by people that may or may not listen to our show. So I understand what you're saying, but the people are the people. And if you don't like it, get out and rock the vote next time, right?
Vote or die, or as my dad would say in this situation right now, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
There is a little bit of that. I will say this. There was no election fraud in this vote.
Dominion was not handling this one is what you're saying.
Yes, correct. That is what I'm saying. All right.
All right. First category up, Dale. Let's just start with the big hitters. Fight of the year. We put out four fights there. We put Josh Emmett, Shane Burgos, Joanijan Jacek, Weili Zhang, Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker, Davison Figueroa versus Moreno.
Yeah. Yeah. My personal opinion, Weili versus Joanna.
And I will say that was my personal opinion as well. And that was what the viewers chose. So congrats to them. You said this in our last episode, actually, because there was a little bit of a question. I was saying, oh, there was a fight that I was talking about. I was like, gosh, this could be in contention for fight of the year. And that was the Figueroa fight. You said, no, what matters the most is pillar to post, start to finish.
Yep.
And that's a fight that you thought was from start to finish, throwing same cadence, same pace through and through.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Those of you that are in the chat that are saying you voted, I know you voted and I saw who you voted for and I appreciate what you did. There was just some other people that we've never heard of before. There's a lot of, you know, text me for sexy time votes and all kinds of stuff. You know, a lot of bots that were voting on things. So I see you. I see you, chat. I know who you are. I appreciate you. Don't leave me now. I know you. All right.
I will say a caveat to that fight, though.
What?
The Burgos-Emmett fight, I feel like it's not getting its due because not only was that just a firecracker-type fight, but you have to remember in the first, 2 seconds, Josh Emmett splits his leg in half and still made it a banger fight. So how much weight do you put on that? Pun intended.
I put a ton. That's why it's there. Because of that. I mean, the guy was literally fighting one-legged and damn near won the fight. So, yeah, I put a lot of weight in that. It's everything, yes, of course. The fact that it was one-legged, a one-legged man, yeah.
For sure. Damn pirate out there.
It was a pirate. It was a damn pirate fighting a guy that looked like a pirate, yes. 100% I put a lot of weight in that.
Yeah, Shane Burgos does look like a pirate.
He does look like a pirate. He looks very untrustworthy. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I just would not trust him.
Oh, that dude pays for his muffins and coffee and doubloons. You know that for sure.
For sure. 100%. 100%.
Next category we had was best Instagram follow for male. We had Derek Lewis, Johnny Case, Conor McGregor, and Dana White. Overwhelming public went with Derek Lewis. And I know you were not too happy with that decision.
Here's the thing with the Derek Lewis thing is I completely agree. Last year, 2019, Derek Lewis was the undisputed king of Instagram, probably as a whole, not even MMA related at all. My man was crushing the Instagram game. And you know, he was a viral sensation, you know, with his post fight interviews, all that stuff. And then very much like Sean's pointing out here, the he's okay, she's okay, you okay, you know, comment or caption on everything, which was hilarious. However, Derek Lewis has fallen into the trap that most athletes fall into whenever they do something funny. They begin to believe that they are funny, and then they try to be funnier, and it just never works out, right? I just, like, Shaq is funny for an athlete. He's not funny, right? Like, Derek Lewis is funny for a fighter, but he's not funny, and then he tried to become funny, right? And then it just doesn't work. Ask Brendan Schaub, right? Brendan Schaub, not funny at all, especially not his stand-up stuff. But when he tries, when he doesn't try to be funny, some of his stuff is actually – I actually do enjoy and get a good chuckle out of it. But when he tries, the harder he tries, the worse it becomes. Derek Lewis was not that active on Instagram this year and tried a little too hard for, in my taste, tried a little too hard. So I didn't necessarily agree with that, but it is what it is. I'm one man with an unpopular opinion, and I have a lot of unpopular opinions.
Do you think that his like post-fight speeches are premeditated? The balls 100%. Was hot, all that stuff, yeah?
Balls was hot was not, but the ones afterward were, because you could see him trying to think about what he was like, because he had thought about lines he was going to try to hit, and you could see. But yeah.
Okay.
So the public said Derek Lewis. We're riding with that. Are we gonna we? I mean, we can't be tyrants, right? We got to go with what the public said.
For those that don't know Johnny Case, go follow Johnny Case. I think that his memes that he puts out there, which is 1,000 a day, they're ones you don't see out there. He finds the undiscoverable ones.
Yes. So that's why I like Johnny Case a lot, is he does a daily meme dump. It's about 50 memes he dumps every single day at various times. And I'm a big fan of, you know, I screenshot them and I send them to my friends. I send them to you, and you know, it makes me look like I'm some meme lord, but realistically I'm just biting our boy Johnny's style, man. And I do enjoy Brendan Schaub's podcast. I like King and the Sting. I really do. I'm not a big fan of Below the Belt. I don't like Fighter and the Kid, but I do like some of Brendan's stuff. I don't mean to go too hard in the paint on Brendan. All right. What else you got?
Best Instagram follow female: Paige Van Zandt, Pearl Gonzalez, Valerie Lareda, or Jessica Rose Clark.
Where did the public land on this? I know going into it, it was surprisingly dead even.
I'm really sad. It was dead even, and I thought it was going to go one way, but it ended up with Paige Van Zandt eking it out by 2 votes up against Valerie Lareda, which I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Maybe people are just not as into Jessica Rose Clark as you and I.
Well, here's the thing is
especially given her last post, like that should have just been like, oh fuck, I don't remember what she put up before, but her last post.
Geez. Right. Well, here's the thing, right? Is Jessica Rose Clark, though, the more she talks, the more I don't like her, because she seems to be rather mean.
Oh, but her accent's so cute. You can't be mean.
Nah, I don't really care about it. Even then, at the end of the day, they're all fighter chicks too. So I'm just, I'm over it. But I think that the Paige Van Zandt pick was a casual pick as well.
Okay. That's fine. I feel like it's turned into not really Paige Van Zandt, but it's the Austin Vanderford Instagram now as well. So,
listen, man, that guy's making his money. I can't hate on a guy making his money. Make your money, dude.
I'll make fun of his stupid fucking neck tattoo, but that's
cool. He does have a dumb neck tattoo, but he is making money. So, again, make your money, dude. I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. Make your money, man. Make your money. Austin Vanderford, hats off to you. You know,
keep gardening naked, brother.
Well, here's the thing, right? Is I'm a member of the Married Up Club too, so I can't hate on a guy like that, right? So like, Austin Vanderford looks a certain way, and his wife is just exponentially hotter than he is, right? So like, you know, wear your crown, ugly king. You got it, man. You scored one for the good guys, right?
Yeah.
My wife and I've been together for 17 years now, 18 yeah. years. And for 17, 18 years of us being together, 16 years of being married, I've had to deal with people looking at her, looking at me, then looking back at her, and then looking at me like, what? So I know this feeling. Like, what?
Wait, you're telling me that the straight face wearing that hat right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It seems weird. You wouldn't think that this wouldn't garner all kinds of positive attention, but it does not. It goes all to her. And justifiably so. So when I see a guy like Austin Vanderford, you know, score a chick that's way out of his level, I tip my hat to you, man. On top of the fact she makes more money than he does, and she just brings him along for the ride. Hats off to you, King. Do your thing, Austin Vanderford. I hate you not. Do your thing, my man.
All right. Next category up was knockout of the year. This one hurt.
Didn't, though. So here's the thing, right? So we had Kasongane Buckley, that was on there, right?
Yep.
Okay. Then what were the other three?
O'Malley Wineland.
Yep.
Dariush over Close.
I loved that knockout. One of my favorites of the year.
That's a good one. Plus, I love Benil. And yep. Garbrandt over Asuncao.
Garbrandt over Asuncao. Again, a fantastic knockout. Here's the thing, is we've seen guys get knocked out by overhand rights before. We've never seen that. We've never Dude, let me finish. We have never seen a kick being caught and then a spin follow-up where the guy just gets his heel to the eye socket and knocks him out. It was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing. I think it's because we've never seen it before that's why it really resonated with people.
You're like the guy that just cares about the shiny new toy, dude.
I do. I do care about shiny new toys. My other thing, too, is that I'm going to be honest with you. I know Cody's fight, you know, his knockout was amazing. And I know in your heart, that was your pick, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But Cody didn't look good in that fight up until that knockout.
Oh God, dude.
He didn't.
When you look at knockout of the year, you also have to look at level of competition. Mm-hmm. Asuncao versus Kasongane. Are you kidding me? What is the spectrum is so wide there. And not even just that. Obviously, people are enamored by Dancing with the Stars. That's what that was. Cody's overhand right wasn't just a generic overhand right, you know, within striking distance. He feinted. He held back, waited at the buzzer, and walk off with his hand in the air. Are you kidding me? That's storybook right there, dude.
I'm not saying it wasn't. It was a great knockout. I can't take anything away from it. You won't hear me say anything negative. I'm just saying that given all things considered, I thought that the uniqueness, the unicorn nature of the Joaquin Buckley fight warranted knockout of the year. Just like the Jorge Masvidal Ben Askren fight of yesteryear. We've seen guys get knocked out with knees before. We've seen guys get knocked out with flying knees before. But we've never seen it in 7 seconds running across the cage at the biggest stage possible in front of 25,000 screaming people after months and months and months of buildup. We've never seen that. So that knee hit different, both literally and figuratively, because of that, right? Yeah. So, and that's why that was knockout of the year last year. Buckley versus Kasongane, if that would have happened at the T-Mobile Arena with 20,000 people in there, the rafters might have fell down on the cage, dude. I'm just saying, like, that was just – it was unbelievable in that regard. So,
all right. Well, going from knocking people unconscious to ripping off limbs, we put submission of the year as one of the categories.
Yep. Yep.
We had Dern over Cyphers. We had Khabib over Gaethje. Mm. We had Sterling over Sandhagen. And we had Lipski over Carolina.
Yes. Yes. My personal favorite out of all of those was the Lipski over Carolina. That seated knee bar wrenching back on her knee and seeing that the negative refraction of the knee. That was bad.
Use those hip flexors, dude. Just make that little apex in the knee just go.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Pineapples.
Nope. No. Overwhelmingly, people took Khabib over Gaethje, which I don't get that, though. That's the only way Khabib was going to win that fight. Everyone thought, get it to the ground, rear naked choke, bulldog choke, whatever he was going to do. That's what we knew was going to happen. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't the unicorn thing like what we just talked about with Buckley. It was very routine.
Now, see, I hate being so contrarian to you. I don't like to argue about things, but I disagree with your statement here, because of all possible outcomes with that fight, Khabib by submission was not one I was entertaining. I was entertaining Khabib by ground and pound TKO. I was entertaining Khabib by 5-round decision, and I was entertaining Justin Gaethje knocking Khabib out. At no point in time in my life was I thinking that either one of those gentlemen, and maybe this is just bad handicapping thought process on my part, at no point in time, did I think that fight was going to end by submission. Somebody put, what about Tombstone doing the quick heel hook of Ed Ruth of all people? Oh. Yeah, that hurts. That hurts. That's coming from in-house too. That was a great submission. That was a great submission.
Weren't expecting that. Just like you weren't expecting Sterling to submit Sanhagen. No one thought that was going to happen. Yeah, Sanhagen's a great jiu-jitsu artist. When was that going to happen?
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Listen, here's the thing though, right? Is if we would have put Taylor up there and Taylor would have magically won, it would have come across as super biased. I'm not saying that's why it wasn't in there. But I am saying that, you know, had we put that in there and it won, I don't know if I could sit here with a semi-straight face and say, yeah, we're putting Taylor as the winner for that. That would come across as, we might send him a consolation prize anyway, though. I think we might need to do that.
For sure. It's like, that's the best bet for us. It's a biased bet for us, but, you know, Taylor's on his way. We're excited to watch him, just like me with alpha male fighters, dude. Speaking of best bets, we had a category for best bets. Yep. We had a male and a female one. We'll go with the female one first here. Valentina Shevchenko, Jillian Robertson, Mackenzie Dern, Caitlin Chukagian, oh my God, I can never say that, and Jessica Andrade.
Yeah, for women's best bet. Yes. And who won that?
The best bet was Valentina Shevchenko.
I don't know how you bet on. I don't know how anybody would bet against Valentina. She is the quintessential parlay piece. She just does not lose, and it's however she wants to get it done. If she wants to get it low and slow, or if she wants to get it high octane, she can. I don't think you ever bet against Valentina Shevchenko until you see her lose. My only concern with Valentina is that she gets bored, and then as a result gets caught by like a specialist or something like that. Like throw her in there with like a Mackenzie Dern, and all of a sudden she thinks that she doesn't have anything to worry about. Mackenzie is able to somehow secure a takedown and then snag some sort of submission. Maybe even then, dude, that's such a reach. But that's the only way I can see Valentina losing. I know she's got the split decisions to Amanda Nunes. I just don't see her and Nunes fighting again. Amanda is so big now. She's really filling out that 135, 145 pound frame. I just don't see a realm where her and Valentina fight again. I know people would like to see a trilogy there. I just don't see it happening.
Well, especially because she stays consistent within her weight class. Like Jessica Andrade, I'd like to make her a best bet, but she keeps fluctuating with weight classes. So it makes me a little bit hesitant how she's going to fare in different categories. Need to know though, I'd be nervous to bet against Valentina Shevchenko because I'm pretty sure she's a Russian spy.
Maybe she said openly that she's not, which I think if you're a spy, you're not allowed to say that you are anyway. So I don't know. You can put any weight into that. And then her and her sister, I think her sister has her pilot's license. So they're flying all over the United States, which is weird. Where are they going? Who are they talking to? Why do they feel the need to fly everywhere? Why can't they use roads? And then is anybody keeping flight logs? Right. Like what's happening here? So, and then where do they train out of? Who's their camp? They just travel around and just beat people. Like there's something fishy with the Shevchenko sisters. And then, you know, I don't know, man, she's intimidating. I don't like Valentina. I'm just intimidated all around by both of them.
I could never date her. I would look like such a bitch.
Well, mostly because she knows what a trigger finger is. And we saw last week that you are unaware of which one of your five digits is your trigger finger.
Yes.
So that's going to be a mark against you, but
right.
But I will say this, something that bodes well in your favor is that she might be one of those women that it doesn't want anything to do with anybody that's within her career spectrum. She might want to date a dude that's like a banker or somebody that's in like finance or a car salesman or somebody, a geologist or something like that. You never No, her gun tattoo screams insanity. Correct. Correct. Every bullet on the gun is a dude that's buried in the desert somewhere that her and her sister maybe threw out of a plane. Maybe that's why they have a plane, because they're throwing people out of the plane over the ocean or out in the desert somewhere.
Wouldn't surprise me. Any dude with her is definitely the small spoon.
Allegedly. Everything I'm saying is allegedly. Valentine, I'm sure you're a wonderful lady. Yeah. I would never accuse you of anything. Yeah. Allegedly. Come on the show.
Best bet male. Oh boy, here we go. I'm going to drink a lot. The names in this category, dude.
I set this up just so you would have to finish your eggnog, which you've already done. So go for it.
Oh, well, I'm going to move on to the next one here.
All right.
All right, here we go. Davis and Figueroa.
Yep. Well done. Yep.
Drew Dober.
Yep.
That's an American name.
Yep.
Ciryl Gane.
Yep.
Aiya Topuria.
Yeah. No, it's not right.
Okay.
I'm saying yes, and I understand you, like the same way that, like, when my kids learn how to talk and I'm like, oh yeah, okay.
So yeah, we use sign language for this. And then I'm gonna go with, just, you know, the listeners know, Giga Chickadays, dude.
Chickadays, yeah, going with Chickadays. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, our boy Giga Chikaze won the best bet for male.
He did, and I think there was a couple of reasons for that. When we originally told everyone to bet on Giga, it was when he was at plus money. Your statement was, this is the last time you're going to get Giga at plus money. A lot of people leaned in, and then after that, it was off to the races.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't see him like that again for a while unless they really give him a step up in competition. So 2020 bet of the year, our best bet, Giga. What he fought four times this year? Four times in 2020? Won all four.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think he was plus money in two out of the four fights. So appreciate you, Giga. Appreciate you. You know, honorable mention here that we didn't put in, and maybe I should have, was Kevin Holland. Mm. Kevin Holland fought five. Now, that being said, two of his fights, he was overwhelmingly massive favorites. When he fought that one dude with the, like, 3 days notice with the bleach hair, you know, something like that. I mean, he was like a minus 950 or something.
Right.
So there was a couple situations. I think even in the Buckley fight, he was like a minus 3 or minus 285, something like that.
Right.
So, you know, a little bit out of our price range where we normally like to sit with people, but Kevin Holland, honorable mention for fighter of the year and best bet of the year for sure. So congrats.
Congrats. All right. Congrats.
Giga, come on the show too. We're going to try to get Giga.
Well, we had an insane lineup of people that were on the show. We had 9 fighters over the course of this year in 2020 that came on our show. So we put out a poll out there. Who was your favorite guest? It didn't necessarily need to be the highest ranking fighter, you know, the ones with the biggest fights on the horizon, but the one that entertained the public the most. So of the fighters we put out there, we put Haley Cowan, we put Max Griffin, Drew Dober, Laura Sanko, Josh Emmett, Johnny Case, Calvin Cater, Patchy Mix, our boy Taylor Johnson.
That's it. That's nine. Who was your? Let me ask you this. At the risk of offending other people that you're not going to say, who was your personal favorite guest that we had this year?
I'd have to go with Max Griffin.
Okay.
Max was just a cool dude, humor, super relaxed, gave us little intricate details to things he does in the back, you know, whether it's his deep breathing, like, talked about the stress that he feels before a fight. He really kind of gave you what it is to be a UFC fighter, mixed with a bunch of humor and just super relaxed. I loved it. He gave us enough time. I loved Max Griffin. Yeah.
I can see that.
You?
I think as far as like trying to be like a big J journo, I think the most fun I had was with Laura Sanko.
I was flustered that interview. So yeah.
Well, here's the thing is, so we were flustered because that was, like, at the time the biggest person that we'd had on. Right. And that was the closest, like, UFC behind the scenes, what we try to do situation. Right. It was like, we actually tried to, like, be like, I don't know, like, serious and professional with that, which was weird. It was a different kind of approach. I don't know necessarily if she came back on the show, if I'd try to approach that thing the same way.
Yeah.
But as far as the most fun I've had, I would say it's probably a 3-way tie between Case, Haley, and Cater. That's probably the most most fun I've had. I like Drew Dober too, man. I like all of our guests. Yeah. I just, you know, we've really been fortunate this year to get people on the show that are like decent people and easy to talk to. So I imagine at some point in this upcoming year, we're going to get somebody that's kind of a stick in the mud or kind of a pain in the ass or a diva or something like that. That's going to make things a little bit more difficult, but we were really fortunate this year. I honestly, it seems kind of weird to try to pick a favorite now that I'm talking about it, because there was bits and pieces of every interview that we had where I felt like I learned a little bit, like I got a little bit better at what we do, and that I just really enjoyed it. So, it was a great year. I think the people overwhelmingly chose Calvin Kattar. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, but it might have been a little biased because he was shirtless on a massage table. Let's be honest.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I think the massage thing probably helped in his favor. Realistically speaking, if any of our female guests were laying on a massage table during the interview, Kattar wouldn't have stood a chance.
Not a question.
Right. So there was a little. He definitely. Him and Dober both tried to harness the power of being shirtless in order to get votes. So, you know, guys, you're not a piece of meat. You know, quit selling yourself short. Put a shirt on. You know. If I can say short and shirt in the same sentence, geez, oh man.
Golly. All right. We are at an hour here, but let's rifle through some personal polls that we had put up today. The public needs to be addressed on this as well. I was shocked and sad. I learned a lot about myself today.
Listen, man, that's just the way it is, bro. The people never lie. It's the law of averages. Herd mentality, man. The herd is always right.
Well, if that's the case, I don't know how to bet. I don't know how to drink, and apparently I don't know how to read. So we'll get into it.
Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
All right. 24 hours in Vegas. Who do you trust with your money? Overwhelmingly, yeah. Dale Lippin.
Here's the thing with that, right? And I appreciate everybody that voted for me, but that's probably not the smartest play if I'm being dead serious with you, because I chase the dragon. What you guys don't see on Saturday nights, except maybe you saw this last Saturday when I got on Instagram Live and I was pretty bitter, is that I'm a dragon chaser. So if I get down, I start doubling down trying to make my money back. So if we go to Vegas and your boy's hitting right off the rip, it's a good weekend. Yeah. But if we go and I drop 4, 5, 6 in a row, we're chasing the dragon. And things are going to get real Hunter S. Thompson real quick. So I would just caution you in selecting that. I appreciate your confidence. I will try not to let you down. All that to say, maybe give them a little second thought.
Wow. They probably see me over at the war table and they're like, okay, never mind.
Right. Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with playing war at, you know, $20 a hand. So.
Yeah. All right. Two Germans walk into a bar and challenge you and a buddy to a drinking competition. Who's your partner? Okay.
You had to know that was coming though. Here's the thing is when we talked about this poll, that was a layup for me, man. I mean, it's not fair to you. It's not your fault. I know you try, but sometimes trying just isn't enough, man. You know, you have kids, you know, you got to tell them that sometimes.
Okay. It's just because you were in the military, like you got your homies and you trained a little bit. I'm willing to put my body on the line. Dude, I'll call the hospital and be like, get ready to fucking pump me because I'm coming in hot.
Right. But here's the thing is that you're at that point, you're still aware enough to make the phone call. By the time you're making the phone call, it's already over with.
I call it day before, bro. I call it day before.
Okay. Gotcha. You're putting a schedule in. You're calling it in like it's outpatient surgery. I understand. Yeah. I got you, dude. Listen, I mean, the time will come, right? Whether we have to, you know, I don't know whether it'll be, you know, 3 years from now when we're both living underground because we refuse to get vaccines or whatever the case may be. But the time will come where you and I will be sitting in a dusty old saloon with glasses across from one another. And we'll have ourselves a good old fashioned Midwestern drink off. And we'll make sure that there's people there to witness what happens.
Okay, that's fair. All right, this is the one that hurts the core. I did go to college, surprisingly. A Secret Service agent gives you a document to review and spell check. Who's reviewing it? I don't understand. I've read a book. I read Holes this one time.
Right.
Yeah.
So the people went with me there.
Overwhelmingly. Every single one of these, when I say overwhelming, it's like I got 3 votes and you got 500. Like, right. No joke.
I appreciate the people. I appreciate your confidence. as a former English major, I take to heart that you would trust me with your proofreading and revision documents. I will do the best I possibly can. Thank you for that.
Okay.
You said you read Holes. What the?
It's a great book, dude. You talked about Dober and Cater
trying to be. You said, "Go, dog, go."
You talked about Cater and Dober being treated like a piece of meat. This is what validated it for me.
Yeah.
Bachelorette party walks into the bar. Who's your wingman? I overwhelmingly got it, but God, apparently I can't read and I can't drink. So what am I just going to stand there like a goon, dude? I don't get it.
Yes. You take your Hawaiian shirt and you undo the first top two buttons with your hair coiffed, and you just stand there and you help whoever needs you to be their wingman. That's what you do.
I will coiff it.
That's always coiff it. Dude, just be man candy. That's all you got to do. Just yeah. And here's the thing is the wingman is exactly that, right? You don't want to be the center of attention. A bad wingman is a guy that's the center of attention, right? You just want to be there as a support professional to help your buddy live his best life. So
kind of just stand there with this smile.
Exactly. That, well, no, maybe not that. Looks like you're trying to push out a fart. Okay. But exactly right here. You'd be the best wingman, good looking dude, married, no competition. You are an amazing wingman. You wear that. We'll get you a patch.
All right. Well, speaking of wings, who's been to more Hooters? And surprisingly, this one was fairly close. It was 57% you, 43% me.
You know, here's the thing is, again, disappointing. I am not a frequenter of Hooters. I've been probably less than a handful of times my entire life.
You know, it's funny. In high school, I dated a Hooters girl. But I never ate the food. I've never eaten the food, but I dated her for a very long time.
Right. So my dad, when my parents split up, my dad used to take me to Hooters as bait. Like when I was like 6, 7, 8 years old, he would take me to Hooters. So all the girls would come over and like say how cute I was. And my dad would use it as like an opportunity to try to hit on the Hooters girls. So
he'd just give you the tater tots, be like, shut up, Dale.
Yeah, pretty much. Eat your chicken wings and shut up. Stand there and look cute. So, cause I mean, you wouldn't know it now. Right. But and my son looks the same way, but when I was a kid, I had blonde curly hair. Yeah. And then you're a fair eyed man like myself, an Anglo-Saxon blue-eyed man like myself.
Caucasus Mountain Warrior.
We're a Caucasus Mountain Warrior. So when you go and you're young and you have long, blonde, curly hair and blue eyes, man, it was a game changer. It was a game changer. My dad was playing with, he was fishing with dynamite. So hats off to him. The old man was crafty, used every tool in the toolbox to up his odds. But yeah, that was the last time I've been at a Hooters. Actually, take that back. The last time I was at a Hooters was I just graduated basic training, San Antonio, Texas, the Riverwalk Hooters. I went in, I was newly engaged, went in and got my wife, or my fiance now wife. I got her, I got her a Hooters Riverwalk San Antonio t-shirt with like a logo on it. So she was pretty pumped about that. Yeah. Dale, you're basically some Senko bait on a J hook with a lightweight on it. Listen, I appreciate how specific that is. And you're absolutely right, man. I would even say so much that it was a Texas rig. So go ahead.
Who won the last beer chug on Instagram Live? Dale goes on Instagram Live after to delete an event and delete some beers. Jump on live stream. Dale didn't have a beer to shotgun. Your boy shotgunned. He chugged a beer. I won so quickly, as Trump would say, so successfully, so perfectly. And what did you do? You swayed the public and they voted in favor of you 62-38, which is ridiculous. I was 5 seconds in front of you.
Here's the thing though, right? Is that I would say this. I feel like you doing a shotgun and me chugging out of a glass, that you should have beaten me handedly. And the fact that it was close, if not a lot of people that saw it live said it was a tie, would indicate that in the grand scheme where all things were made even and we were both shotgunning, it would not have been close at all.
Okay.
Because I believe a shotgun is a faster delivery system than a chug out of a glass.
Was chugging IPAs.
It's true. That's true. You were chugging IPAs. However, your ability to stomach taste and strong hops is not my problem.
Mm. Got it.
I'm just saying that's just me. Like I chug Guinness. Most people need a spoon to drink Guinness.
Yeah, they do.
And I drink Guinness like it's the milk of the mother teat. You're
like Mugatu, dude. You love that foamy shit.
Dude, I love it, man. I will literally, I'm telling you, man, it heaven's got has rivers filled with Guinness, and I will backstroke through them. I love Guinness. It is the mother milk of the earth. Go ahead.
Well, if you're going to ever create a river full of Guinness, you got to win $1 million bet. And the last bet we put out there was, or the last poll was $1 million bet, win or lose, who are you taking? Kind of goes in line with the Vegas thing. Dale, overwhelming.
I appreciate the confidence. Like I said, I appreciate the confidence. If you give me $1 million, there's a good chance we're doubling it. I just, that's how I feel, man. In this regard, right? And I'm not saying this isn't true to you, but I feel so confident in my bets sometimes that if I had $1 million, like if I was that dude with screw you money, I would bet $1 million bets if I had it, if I could get my hands on it. If somebody was willing to front me money to spend that, I would be willing to do that. That's how confident I feel when I put stuff out. That's why it hurts so much when it loses, because I really felt in my gristle, I was spending that money before I even made it. That's how confident I am in my bets.
I would take it, go straight to the roulette table, put it on
red.
Green.
This is why nobody gives you money.
But then if someone got mad, pop the shirt off, and then be the candy, like you said, right?
Yeah, I think that would numb everything down. I think you're absolutely right.
All right, perfect. Well, that was it for bets. That was it for polls. That was it for it all. Dude, what a year.
What a year. What a year. Fantastic. Oh, gosh. You know what I wanted to do and I didn't do it? I want to give some stuff away. Can we do that?
Yep.
Damn it. We're going to have to do a post about it. I wanted to do top cities that we had downloads out of this year.
Say it again.
I wanted to run through the top cities that we had downloads in. Like how many countries do we have downloads in? How many cities do we have downloads in? Because we have access to all that data.
I always look at it. It's so random. Major right. listening base in Hawaii, in New York. It's weird, man. It's weird.
At one point in time, we were the number 13 podcast in Azerbaijan.
God bless you. Where?
We were the number 13 podcast of all podcasts in Azerbaijan.
I'm thinking there's probably only 13. I don't even know where that is.
Azerbaijan? Azerbaijan.
This is harder than Chickadees, dude. Where okay. is this place?
They're currently in, well, I think they're at a, I think they're at a, I think they're in peace talks with Armenia. They were just shooting each other for a couple weeks a while back. But yeah, it's right around, it's Caucasus Mountain area, right around the Caucasus Mountains. You know, we're popular there. We're popular. We resonate. So I was going to change our header at the top there. I wasn't going to say number one MMA betting podcast on earth. It was going to say the number 13 podcast in general in Azerbaijan. So maybe we'll change that for the next show. I don't know. All right. So 2020 was a fantastic year. Appreciate everybody that supported the show in 2020. So much so. Let's do some Christmas giveaways. You want to give away 5 beer monies?
Let's give away 5.
5 beer monies. All right. Whew. All right. Let me pull the wheel up. Golly. All right. 5 beer monies.
That's 5 pirate songs.
5. Dude, do you want to do the pirate song 5 times?
Yes, and I wish that producer Jake would be able to throw in just a picture of Shane Burgos the entire time.
Well, I very short notice. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. All right, let's see here. Let me get the bum, 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 bum. All right, we will do.
Oh, man. For those that are not part of this list, go to Apple iTunes, write us a 5-star review, and you get to be on this pirate wheel.
Yes, so you get to be on the wheel. If you leave us a review on iTunes, if you can't leave us a review on iTunes, shoot us a message on Instagram and say, hey, I don't use iTunes. I listen to you on Spotify, Podbean, Podblast, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Podbean. Did I say Podbean already?
No.
We're everywhere, man. You can't not find us. Chartable. We're everywhere, bro. Just find us. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Google Plus, MySpace, Facebook. I don't give a hoot where you follow us. And just shoot us a message and say, "Hey guys, I like your show," or "I hate your show." We had a hate your show message last night. So and I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. Here we go.
Is the pirate music going? Man, I just don't even hear it.
He won something. He won something.
Did.
Can you believe it?
No.
Dude, our most loyal day one just won something.
Yes. Stoked.
I can't believe it. He won something. Dude. Oh man. I only put his name's on there one time, and it just, oh my gosh, I thought it would never happen. All right. So oh my gosh. All right. So we've got four more freaking pirate songs. Here we go.
For those that were listening, that was Lunch Money Bet that had won the previous spin. Lunch Money Bet. Second spin of the night. Oh boy. Merry Christmas to Kern Dog.
Kern Dog.
Yeah, all right. Kern Dog.
All right. Lunch Money Gang was the first one. Your odds are 1 in 285, my man, or something like that. So they're pretty good. Let's see here. Spin number three. Here we go. 258. 258 entries.
Boy. And it is
Andrew Booth. Do you know Andrew Booth? I have no idea who Andrew Booth is.
Dude, I know like this entire crew so far.
Okay, awesome, awesome. All right.
It's like all my family and friends, man.
Oh, okay. let's see here. All right.
Watch, the next one coming up is going to be like, "Dad." Yeah, dude. Grossfield Ranch.
Grossfield Ranch. Appreciate you.
Last spin of the night.
Who said that this thing's fucking rigged? Fake news. Oh, let's see here. Who is that? Kyle?
Yep.
All right. Here you go, Kyle. Just so you are aware that you are in here, man. I'm gonna put you in. Kyle VB. You're added in right now, man. Just in case you weren't there. You're here now.
Yeah, maybe write a review. I don't know. And the final spin of the night. For all the beer money in the world, Sam Collins 3.
All right. Outstanding. Guys, if you have won beer money, you know, that's the all you got to do is hit us up. Shoot us a message on Instagram, and we will gladly Venmo you, Cash App, or maybe we might be able to PayPal. I'm not sure. Or I'll just throw it in the mail to you if need be. My passenger pigeon, I sent it out to Trey 3 weeks ago. It's not back yet, so I can't send it to you via pigeon. But Trey, be on the lookout because my pigeon is on the way. All right. We had a great 2020. Dude, it was just, I don't know. I don't want to keep dwelling on it and just say ums and ahs. It was a great, great year. Producer Jake, you want to hop on here for a split second? And we brought you on about halfway through the year, man. You've absolutely crushed it. I want to give you your just due. Can you hop on here so we can congratulate you publicly as being, voted the best producer of the Punchless MMA podcast? Can you come on here so we can congratulate you on such a thing? There he is.
Shane Burgos.
He looks a lot like Shane Burgos. Man, his producer, Jake, look a lot like Shane Burgos. So there he is.
Yo.
What's up? Yeah, we can hear you. You look great. Right,
Hey, how you doing?
You look good. Yeah.
Got the threads on, you know?
Got the threads on. Outstanding. All right, Jake. So it was overwhelming. You won by a landslide. You were voted producer of the year. So congratulations.
I try.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't mind, what was your favorite moment of the year? Something you liked, didn't like? What are you anticipating for 2021?
Favorite moment of the year would probably be I'm having a name dump right now, but finding out one of the guests almost sold a pair of shoes for $10,000.
Haley Cowan.
Haley. I was in the background. You guys didn't hear me, but I was screaming.
Right.
I was like, are you kidding me? But honestly, I just enjoy you guys interviewing people. It's fun to watch. So, hey, you know, we just won two cups in a row. We can't just keep them all, you know?
Those that are not listening to the audio, producer Jake, the Penguins, who he has a banner of behind him, don't have a chance this year, bud.
Yeah, so.
It's an asterisk year anyway. We're only playing all division. So,
right. All right, man. Listen, I appreciate your hard work. Trey and I have said time and time again, we've sung your praises in this regard. It doesn't seem like much throwing different graphics up and moving things around, but when you're not here, we noticed very quickly how bad we suck at it. So, thank you very much for your hard work. And we look forward to a big 2021. As you know, we've got some stuff cooking in the hopper that we can't talk about yet, but it's going to be a big year coming up. We're excited, and it's been a real treat bringing you on and having you part of the team, man. So appreciate you big time.
Just glad I can help, man.
Awesome.
Appreciate you guys bringing me on.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, so Trey and I can keep doing what we're doing. Get out of here.
You have to kick me out after your. Yeah. Oh.
Still don't know what we're doing.
Oh man! All right. We're at an hour and 20 minutes. It's longer than statistically we should ever do because our download numbers drop in an hour and 20 minutes. Yes. Appreciate everybody that listened and tuned into the show. We will do an Instagram post congratulating or highlighting the cities, countries that that people listen to us from this year. Yeah. Bottom of my heart, very sincere holiday episode aside. Said it before, said it again. Don't you ever think I don't appreciate anybody that listens to the show, whether you listen to it for 1 minute or every minute. I do appreciate you. I cherish your support, and I'll do what I can to keep it. Really appreciate everyone that listens to the show. Hats off to you. Cheers, everyone. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a great new year. If you need anything betting-wise between now and then, reach out to Trey and I. We'll be happy to help you out in any way we possibly can. Just freaking love you guys, man. I really do. This has been an awesome – this is a passion project that has turned into something that I want to see grow into something far more than a side hustle. So appreciate everybody. That's all I got, Trey. So you can send us off today.
Merry Christmas, y'all filthy animals.
All right. See you guys.